Microsoft Corporation yesterday unveiled the first computer it has ever made, a tablet called the Surface, and it's designed to stand up against the Apple iPad. Joining us now to talk about this new development and more is Macworld's executive editor, John Seff. He's been covering all things Apple for more than a decade. Welcome to the show, John.
Hi.
You know, when I say that it's the first computer Microsoft has ever made, it made one of my producers stop this morning, like, wait a minute, their first computer? And that's kind of hard to imagine that it's just their first.
Well, I mean, Microsoft is a software company. You know, they're all about Windows, and they've licensed that to all the partners and sell it individually. And their whole idea was you create the software, the operating system to run it on, and they don't care what the hardware is. They just provide the software.
So the new Microsoft tablet was touted as a vehicle for the forthcoming Windows 8. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. It was designed with, which was designed with the tablet in mind. And when I was looking at the, you know, the videos online of the device of the new Microsoft Surface, it started to make sense how they put the tiles together, and then they call it the Surface, and, you know, all the lexicon started to fall into place.
Yeah, and, you know, I think what Microsoft is doing is they're designing Windows 8 as a platform operating system. So it is for desktop computers. It is a mobile operating system for smartphones and also for tablets. And here Microsoft is actually releasing its own tablet running its own software. So it's really interesting.
One analyst said the combination of PC and tablet features makes Surface a true converged device. And they called it a Swiss Army knife of a tablet. And I was wondering if that really distinguishes it and if that might be what helps it compete against something like the iPad.
You know, it's a little bit hard to know right now what exactly Microsoft is going after with the product because there's so many things about it we still don't know. They announced basically two different versions of it. One is a sort of lower-end version running Windows RT, and one is a higher-end version running Windows 8 Pro. They have different specs. They have different hardware. They have different ports. And we also don't know when they're coming out exactly, and we don't know how much they're going to cost. So at this point, you know, it's really hard. The closest one, the first product, is probably not going to come out, they say, until when Windows 8 comes out this fall. So that's probably at least 3 more months, and then the Pro version is going to come out for 3 months after that. So the real flagship product that Microsoft is going to release here is not going to be available for at least 6 months, and I'm sure we'll get more information on specs between now and then, but right now it's kind of hard to know exactly what the product is going to be and how it's going to compete.
And just from looking at it, then it's just hard to say whether or not it can compete with iPad. You have to know the price point right off the bat, but it would be hard to imagine they would price it much over iPad.
Well, you know, what they said was that the RT version is going to sell around the same price as other tablets running the ARM processor. Mm-hmm. And those range, I think, from about $300 to $700. And then the Windows 8 version is going to be priced around the Ultrabook line that's out there. And those, I think, are sort of in the $800 to $1,500 range, mm-hmm. $800 to $1,500 range. So, you know, there's a really wide berth there, and it's really hard to tell what they're going to price these at. You know, the iPad starts at $499 and goes up to, I think it's $829 now for the largest one with the 4G. And that's another thing we don't know is, Microsoft didn't actually announce any cellular connections, 3G mm-hmm. or 4G data connections. So as far as we know right now, these are only Wi-Fi devices, which means that if you're not within a Wi-Fi network, then you have no internet connectivity. And they probably will have that, but they haven't announced that yet.
The Surface, maybe this is a gadget it's already popped up elsewhere, but it has a built-in kickstand and a magnetic cover that you can use as a touch keyboard. Now, I really like that idea.
Yeah, that's actually one of the really interesting things about this product. The built-in kickstand is great because a lot of times with a tablet, you want to have it propped up for reading or for typing or for anything you want to do with it. And, you know, with the iPad, that's achieved via a cover. And, you know, there are lots of third-party covers and cases for it, and Apple has its own that you can use. But having this built-in seems really nice. And then, as you mentioned, the keyboard, you know, the keyboard is part of that case. and it flips over, and then you have a keyboard with a multi-touch trackpad and everything built right in, which sounds really great. I'm not sure until people mm-hmm. actually try it, it's hard to say how it's going to feel and how it's going to work. It's not going to be a solid keyboard with lots of transport when you press the keys down, but for what it's intended for, it might be nice, but it does look really interesting with that.
Well, let's turn our sights to Apple now. Once again, if you're just joining the show, my guest is Jonathan Seff. He's executive editor of Macworld, and Apple made a splash at their annual Worldwide Developers Conference, or WWDC, in San Jose last week. Among the announcements was a slew of new products and upgrades to existing Apple products, but I don't, as far as I can tell, none of them necessarily made the front page of USA Today.
Well, in terms of the products, Apple refreshed its entire laptop line.
Mm-hmm.
So there were new MacBook Airs, which is the very portable version of their laptop. There's the new MacBook Pros. But the one that actually made the headlines was the new, called the MacBook Pro with Retina display. And Retina display is something that first came out with the iPhone 4, and then also with the third-generation iPad, the new iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea behind that is that the pixel density is so great on the screen that at a normal viewing distance, the human eye shouldn't be able to distinguish the individual pixels. And it's a term that Apple made up, but it basically means that the screen is really, really high resolution with a very high pixel density. And this MacBook Pro with Retina display is the first one to have what Apple is calling the Retina display on a non-iOS device, on an actual laptop. And so it's got that new screen, but they completely redesigned the inside and did lots of really exciting engineering to get a very thin, light product that's actually of the pro level in terms of performance and speed.
If anyone has a question or comment, give us a call, 614-292-8513. You can email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can tweet me at Ann Fisher, WOSU. So aside from that, is it called Retina display?
Yes, the Retina display.
How does the new model stand apart from the current line of MacBook Pros then?
Well, they added a bunch of things to it. The display is the biggest thing, and it's 5 million pixels on it. It's a very high resolution screen. There's also no glass cover on it because of the new design, and that makes for less reflection and glare, which is something people have complained about with the laptops for a while, because there's glass that covers it,
mm-hmm.
and so there's a lot of glare and reflection. So people have complained about that. There's a newer generation of Intel processors, the Ivy Bridge processors, and things like the latest technologies like Thunderbolt and USB 3.0. And at the same time, to get something that's really this light and thin, there are some compromises. There's no optical drive, so no DVD drive. You can't watch DVDs or burn them. There's also no Ethernet port for networking, or FireWire port, which is one of Apple's high-speed networking connections. And so those things you all need to use with an external device. But part of that is that, having a display this large and powerful with so many pixels requires a lot of battery. So Apple had to do a lot of engineering to have custom large battery inside, and they have custom memory and custom RAM. So it's an interesting product. It's a pro product, but it's not as upgradable as other pro products have been in the past because of the engineering that goes into making it this lightweight, portable pro system.
Yeah, it's been criticized to some extent for making them thinner and less upgradable, as you just mentioned, and repairable. To what extent is that a caution for people who might want to buy this and check it out?
I think that for the third-party repair community especially, it's a big deal. But I think advances in engineering like this require some radical changes and often some compromises.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a pro customer that wants the best portable system from Apple, you'll pay to upgrade it directly from Apple, because that's the only way to do it. If you want to have the full 16 gigabytes of RAM, you have to do that when you order it, because that's directly on the motherboard. You can't do that later. So it's something to consider when you're buying it. You want to look at and see, what am I going to use this for and how much money you want to spend up front. But if it's meant for a pro audience, then spending a little bit more up front to get something that's going to be longer lasting and more powerful makes a lot of sense. But you know, it's too early to tell whether the repairability thing is going to come into play and how much of an issue that's going to be.
There was an article on Macworld about how Apple's new laptop redefines the concept of a pro laptop. I was wondering, how does this laptop shed any light on Apple's future plans or philosophy for how they want consumers to work with their laptops?
Well, for the last several years, every quarter, if you look at Apple's sales numbers, the majority of Macs sold have been laptops, have been portables. And that trend has been going on, as mentioned, for several years. And because of the power that people are able to get out of a laptop and the portability, it's become, you know, Apple's top-selling product, having those laptops. So I think that what you're seeing is Apple is putting a lot of engineering work into making the products that most people want into more powerful for roughly the same amount of money. This new MacBook Pro costs more than the other ones, but Apple has not gotten rid of the other MacBook Pros. There's still the 13-inch and 15-inch MacBook Pro non-Retina display. So for now, Apple's keeping several tiers. There's the MacBook Air, which is very inexpensive and very portable, the regular MacBook Pro, and then the 15-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display. And it's possible that Apple will have a 13-inch MacBook Pro with Retina display, you know, in the coming months as well, and then that'll round out that top part of the line. And Apple also discontinued the 17-inch MacBook Pro, which was the most powerful, largest screen, largest resolution model that was out there. And I think that shows that people want the power, but they still want the portability, and that 15-inch is really the sweet spot. But having that broad line going from the MacBook Air up to the MacBook Pro with Retina display shows Apple's sort of philosophy on portables, which is every possibility that you can have without being overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. For that, and for all of that, what are we talking about in terms of cost?
The MacBook Pro, the Retina display model, begins at, I believe it's $2,199. So $2,200 is the Retina display, and you can go up from there with faster processors, with more memory, more RAM, but it starts at $2,199. And with the MacBook Air and the MacBook Pro, it's a much lower price point. The MacBook Pro begins at $1,199, so fairly good entry-level price, and the MacBook Air starts at $999. So there's a very wide spectrum there of how much you can spend, depending on your needs.
Do you think that higher cost, that $2,199, is going to be worth it, or is there enough of a market there for something at that level?
I think that there is, and I think that if you wanted to try to go and order one of those online right now, there may be a little bit of a wait. Apple's actually showing 3 to 4 weeks shipping for the Retina display MacBook Pro, whereas the other MacBook Pros are all available now and in stock. So people seem to have flocked to it, and the price difference, if you're a professional and you're using it for professional photography, and, you know, for someone like a photographer, that really high pixel density and really great quality screen lets you zoom in on your images, see really fine details. And they mentioned during the keynote that it's such high resolution that you could be editing video in Final Cut Pro, for example, and see the entire video of a 1080p video in one corner of the screen at full resolution and still have the rest of the interface to work with. So for a pro customer, I don't really think that price is an issue, and the backlog kind of bears that out right now.
Apple announced their new laptops in conjunction with a new computer operating system, OS 10.9 or Mountain Lion. What's that about?
It's 10.8, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry. It was written 10.9.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll be next year.
Okay.
10.8 is Mountain Lion, and it's the successor to Lion. And as the name suggests, it's sort of building on Lion. Apple's been using this big cat metaphor since OS 10 came out. There's been Cheetah, Puma, Jaguar, you know, all these different big cats. And Mountain Lion is actually coming out next month. It's coming out in July. Apple hasn't said exactly when yet, and it's only going to be $20. To upgrade to the latest OS if you're running the past two versions. So if you're running 10.7, which is Lion, or 10.6, which is Snow Leopard, And you know, it brings a lot of good features to the Mac OS, and a lot of them are things that are coming from the iOS devices. So things that have been in the iPhone and the iPad are actually coming to the desktop version. Things like dictation, so you can actually speak system-wide dictation where you can speak to your computer and have it take down what you're saying. Things like Game Center, which is the iOS gaming hub that's built into the iOS devices, is coming to the Mac. Something called AirPlay Mirroring, which lets you send the contents of your Mac screen to your TV through one of Apple's Apple TV set-top boxes. You can do that now with an iPad or an iPhone. Now you'll be able to do that with your Mac as well. And some other things, improvements to Safari, Apple's web browser. Mm-hmm. And these are things that are going across the iOS and the Mac platform. So a lot of stuff where they're actually trying to bridge the gap and bring some of the features from one to the other and have a lot more interoperability, because a lot of people are coming to the Mac from being iOS customers. A lot of people buy an iPhone or an iPad and they're PC users, and they see the Apple way of doing things and they like it and they decide to become a Mac user. So I think in a lot of ways making the Mac OS work a lot like the mobile operating system makes a lot of sense from Apple's point of view.
What about another... Apple also announced their new laptops. Well, I wanted to talk about the iOS 6, the latest mobile operating system. What's new
right.
about that?
iOS 6, that's coming out in the fall. Apple hasn't specified exactly when, but the previous one came out October 12th of last year, so you know, September, October timeframe. And there's some big features in there, and some of them are actually similar to what's in the desktop operating system. System-wide integration with Twitter has already been there. There's going to be Facebook integration. There's a new Do Not Disturb feature that you can turn on, and it will keep the rings and buzzes from happening on your phone or your device at night, so you don't get an alert when you get a new tweet in the middle of the night. But you can also configure it so that if someone's on your favorites list, their call will still come through, or if someone calls multiple times in case there's some kind of emergency, that'll come through. They've actually replaced Google Maps in the next version of the operating system. Mm-hmm. And it's a new, completely new map feature, and there's turn-by-turn driving directions, which has been in other platforms and other types of phones before, but not on the iPhone. You've had to have a third-party app to get that. So Apple's adding its own turn-by-turn driving directions, and they did this really interesting 3D flyover feature, where they had helicopters and airplanes flying over cities and taking detailed photos, and they turn these into these graphics so you can load them on your phone or your iPad, and you can circle around them and zoom in and see things from a really detailed perspective. Siri, which is Apple's voice recognition system, where you speak to it and then it answers you. Mm-hmm. They've done some improvements there. There's sports and movie queries, so you can say, who won the football game today, and it'll answer you. Or what's the latest movie starring Angelina Jolie, and it'll answer you that. So there's a lot of integration there, a lot of stuff there, and also a new app called Passbook. And the idea is it's for retailers and ticket vendors and airlines to give you electronic tickets, and this collects them all into one. So you could collect your Fandango movie tickets and your United Airline e-ticket and all that stuff into one app, or even your Starbucks credit. So you just have one app and you launch it, and it has all of your passes, as they call them. And there's a lot of other stuff that they're working on for this too. There's a lot of information on macworld.com, and there's a lot of information on Apple's website too about this. Everything that we know and that we're allowed to talk about based on what Apple's announced. We've been looking in depth on a lot of these things, and we're looking a lot more in depth every day.
Okay.
So there's a lot of new information coming out.
That is why we do this every Tuesday, just to barely keep up. We just claw our way through the information.
One week in the tech industry is an eternity.
I know it. It cracks me up too. Jonathan Seff, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Of course, thank you.
Jonathan Seff, he is executive editor at Macworld.